It was their faith that would heal them. It was also a prefigurement of Christ on the cross. And that's why there was power and efficacy in looking upon this bronze serpent, because it foreshadowed Jesus on the cross. And so the people did. They came before this bronze serpent. They looked at it, and those that were bitten by the poisonous snakes were cured, and they did not die after they gazed upon it. So our Lord uses this teaching to Nicodemus when he says, Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert on a pole to heal those that were bitten by the poisonous serpents, and they were healed and given natural life. But I, the Son of Man, will be lifted up on the cross, and that those who gaze on me in faith and acceptance, and those who believe in me, they will not perish. They will not be separated from me for all eternity. They will actually receive eternal life with God in heaven. And that is a wonderful thing, that we who accept Christ and believe in him and live our life for Christ will have eternal life. Now, a great example of this is the good thief. Remember, there were two thieves, one on each side of Christ, the Bible says. On one side, the thief was ridiculing Christ and blaspheming him. But the other one said, no, stop, this man has done nothing wrong. And then the good thief, as we call him, turned to the Lord and said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So Jesus did not look like a king. He was covered with blood, covered with the crown of thorns, with scourge marks, nails to his hands and feet. But he had faith. And he looked upon Christ, who really looked like a sinner. He looked guilty. He looked like a criminal. He was hanging on the cross. And yet, the good thief saw through that and said, heal me, forgive me of my sins. And Jesus forgave him. And Jesus even promised him, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Just as that bronze serpent, you know, looked like it might contain poison, but it didn't. It was actually a source of healing. So Christ looked as if he were a sinner. He looked guilty, not because of his own sins, but because he took upon himself the sins of the world. But those who could gaze upon Christ with faith would be healed of the poison of sin. The poison of sin we need to be healed from is the original sin, which is washed away when we're baptized. But then any personal sins that we commit, Jesus forgives us those sins through the sacrament of confession, when his mercy and his love wash over us, and all of our sins that we confess to the Lord in that sacrament are washed away. The church teaches us how important it is to go to that sacrament and to have our sins washed away. And so the good thief confessed his sins to the Lord. He said he was sorry for his sins, and Jesus forgave him and promised that he'd be with him in paradise. Well, then this passage goes on and says that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. See, Christ is a Savior. The word Jesus in the Aramaic means God saves. So the very name of Christ is one with his mission. So Christ is a Savior. He doesn't want to condemn us. He wants to save us. But then our Lord does say that those who believe in him will not be condemned, but whoever do not believe have already been condemned if they persevere in their lack of faith and in their lack of belief. And then a very interesting point comes up next. He says, this is the verdict. The light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light. Christ is the light of the world that has come in to shine in the darkness of paganism and sin and immorality. But it says many of the people do not want to approach the light. They want to live in sin and darkness. As you know, many sins are committed in the darkness, not in the open, committed in darkness, because people do not want to come in to the light. Well, then this concludes by saying, again, something very interesting. The wicked, whoever does wicked things, hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, is attracted to the light, that his works might be clearly seen as done by God. Very interesting point here. And I think this, we can really apply this to what happens when we die, when we come before Christ as our judge. We're going to be either attracted to him, to the light of heaven, or we're going to want to shrink back from Christ and avoid his holiness, his purity, his light. And it depends upon how we've lived our life. If we die in God's friendship, in the state of grace, with no serious sins on our soul, with God's life within us, then we'll be attracted to the light and we'll be drawn to heaven and to God, just like a moth will be attracted to the flame. But if we have lived a life of sin and immorality and don't have God's grace in our soul, we're going to shrink back and we're going to pull away and would rather be in darkness. From that standpoint, we can say that in a sense we sort of judge ourselves. When we come before God, we're either going to go towards God or we're going to go away from God. And Bishop Sheen uses a really interesting analogy. He says it depends upon the nature of the state of our soul at the moment of our death. We're either going to be like a bird or a stone. He says if somebody's holding a bird and opens their hands, the bird, by its very nature, is going to fly up to the heavens. And that's what it'll be for a soul that loves God and that's ready to meet God. When we come before God, our soul is going to be attracted and want to be with God. But if our nature is contrary to God, if somebody's holding a stone and opens their hand, it will fall because of gravity, by the very nature of the stone. So the same thing will happen when we come before God. Our soul is either going to be attracted to God, to the light, or it's going to be pulled away from God because of the way we've lived our life. So that's the option that we have. Our Lord is very clear. He wants to save us. He wants us to be in heaven for all eternity with him in eternal life. But he gives us free will. We can choose to love and serve him and be attracted to the light, or we can turn away from God and be pulled away to the darkness. And so that's the choice that we have. And I think if we're wise, as we see Christ lifted up on that cross, we will say to him, Jesus, you are my Lord and my God. You are my personal Savior. I love you. I repent of all my sins. Confess our sins. Be forgiven so that we can live in God's light. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so the Son of Man is lifted up, that all who believe in him might not perish, but may have eternal life. God bless you.